Father, we want to offer this to you as a sweet-smelling savor, an aroma, an offering to you of our hearts and our lives. Thank you for offering yourself to us. Thank you for making yourself real and vulnerable. Thank you for letting us know you as precious and powerful. You're awesome, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Commit this time into your hands. We want to hear what you want. We want to receive truth. We want to walk in it, Lord. Teach us how. Help us to get filled up so that you could flow through us. We could release you, the real you, everywhere we go. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, I was at MSU and talked to a girl named Rosa, who is Catholic. And as I spoke to her about Jesus, as I was fixing a bathtub in her house, she listened attentively. And I helped her to understand God's purpose and His desire for her life. Then I helped her to realize where she was at. And she came to the conclusion that she was not on her way to heaven, but she was on her way to hell. And then I presented Christ. And she accepted Christ and was born again. That was at MSU. This week I was at GVSU. The names change, but it was basically the same. It was really pretty incredible. So this morning, I had this other thing that I thought God was going to have me preach. And this morning, I just felt like He said, why don't you write this down? I wrote it as, in here, a story of creation. But how about if I put it as a story of God's purpose and desire for you? You got your Bible? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, you see, before time, there was God and eternity. In the beginning of time, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God in the flesh. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice walking in the garden, in the cool of the day. And even back then, because Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice, they were used to fellowshipping with the voice of God, Jesus Christ. But when the devil, the snake, came along, and he questions God's word, yea, hath God said, did God really mean that? Is he trying to keep something back from you? So Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God God created us for fellowship. He said, I'm going to make somebody in my image so we can have a relationship. You can't go marry a cow or a parakeet or an octopus because you can't have a relationship with them. You're not like them. An octopus can marry another octopus. You understand? They can have a relationship. So God wanted somebody in His likeness, so He made us in His image and wanted to have relationship. And then He created this place for them to live and made it just easy for them. And they fellowshiped with Him. And then they listened to another voice. They followed another voice. And the fellowship was broken. God did not leave them. Notice in Genesis 3:8, God did not leave them. They left Him. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. In Exodus 34:27-29, I wrote this down as point number two. God gave some relationship rules. God wanted fellowship with people, but from that point forward, most of the people didn't have fellowship with God. And they went about doing all kinds of things, and many things happened between Genesis 3:8 and Exodus 34. We're not going to cover all those, but suffice it to say, in Exodus 34, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he, Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant or agreement, which we know as the Ten Commandments. It says, he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or knew not that the skin of his face shone while God talked with him. When somebody comes into the presence of God, something changes. Their countenance changes. I've been around people. I've heard people say, somebody in the presence of God, it's like they're just shining. There's like a glow about them. They're lit up. Moses had been in the presence of God. He gave him some relationship rules, the Ten Commandments. It was how to, if you'll notice, when you read the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the first four of the Ten Commandments deal, are you ready? It's real simple. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with man. Everything always points to the cross. It's always so simple. We make it hard because we try to do anything but Christ. We try to do our own version. We try to make our way fit into His way. But God's desire and His purpose was to have a relationship with us. So He gave some rules that would help us to have a relationship with Him and with other people. Man's responses and choices. Turn to Psalm 10. Psalm 10, verse 4. I was talking to this man at GVSU, and I said to him, I shared with him that it's my sin that killed Jesus. I needed you to die on the cross for me, Jesus, because there's nothing I could do to save myself. And he said, I agree. He said, but I can't say it. I said, why can't you say it? He said, I don't know. I said, what if I could help you? No. He said, okay. He said, it's called pride. You agree with what I'm saying, but you can't say it. He said, something inside of me won't let me say it. I said, because you have to humble yourself. He said, how about if I just say I want to live for God? I want to try to be strong for God. I said, there you are trying to do it and not realizing that Jesus needed to do it for you. God needed to do it for you because you can't do it for Him. And it's the same way we get saved. Is the same way we're supposed to live. Realizing, I can't do it. I need God to do it for me. Every day. I can't go to work. If I go, it's like I've just gone and I didn't enjoy it. I trudged through it. I felt critical of others. I just lived like all the other rats. But when I say, God, I can't do this, which He keeps bringing me to every day. God, I can't do this. I can't keep up. I don't know what to do. I can't answer all these calls. I can't keep doing this. My body is revolting. I can't do this. And I don't want your help, God. I want you to pick me up and carry me, Father. I don't know how to explain it. But the rest of the day goes completely different. And you can't just say the words. It's like you got to come to that place where it's true. And you embrace that and you realize, I can't do this. Oh, I might can do it, but it's horrible. You feel like you're just trudging through mud. All you can see is negative and feel negative and want to complain and gripe and blame others. Or you can walk on the water. I can't do this. Will you pick me up? He says, sure. Now just keep your focus on me. Don't look at the waves. Keep your focus on me, he says. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Through pride, the wicked will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Look at verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. I won't have problems. I'll do it my way. I'll make it work. Nobody else can do it, but I'm going to be better than everybody else. I'm going to make my way work. Verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. God hideth his face. He'll never see it. I could do this. It's dark. Nobody can see me. I'll just do it real fast. I won't let anybody know. God's forgotten. He won't see it. Verse 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? Or why do the wicked condemn God? Because the wicked has said in his heart, you, God, will not require it. I'm doing this, but I don't have to pay for it. I'm going to be able to steal. I'm going to be able to commit adultery. I'm going to be able to look at porn. I'm going to be able to be proud. I'm going to be able to just do things my way. I'm going to get by with it. Nobody says something. Nobody's going to require it. I'm going to get away with it. And God's like, it's on the video. When you stand before me and you're naked and you have nowhere to hide, you can't hide behind your position, behind your riches, behind whatever it is you're hiding. He says, and I have it played on the big screen in heaven. But I didn't do anything, really. Don't show that here. No, not that. Psalm 53, 1 through 5. Psalm 53, 1 through 5. I want you to get an overall picture. Here's God. He creates us for fellowship. He gives rules of how to have relationship both with Him and with other people. And then here's how man responds and chooses. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable or horrible iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. What were they supposed to understand? That they needed to seek God. And God says every one of them, because they needed to seek God, because it's all about relationship. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? Hurt other people, slander other people, gossip about other people. It's like they eat them up. They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. I'm not going to read anymore. There they were in great fear where no fear was. What are you afraid of, Johnny? Something's under my bed. Nope, nothing's under your bed. But he's scared. Most people live in fear. They're motivated by fear. They won't do things because of fear. They do things because of fear. They buy insurance because of fear. Because the insurance man tells you, what if? The biggest motivation in the world is fear. But 1 John 4:18 says the highest motivation in the world is love. And perfect or mature love casts out fear. In our lives, we're either going to be motivated by fear or love. When we go to deal with people and have relationships, we're going to be motivated by fear or love. When we go to have a relationship with God, we're going to either be motivated by fear or love. God's purpose is to have a relationship. Here's man's choices. Okay? Here's what man is doing. Even when God is kind, does all his stuff, Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. That's Psalm 139, 8. And we're going to go to Ezekiel 33, 11 next. I believe that God loves people so much. In these next three verses, Psalm 139, 8, and these next two I'm going to read, Ezekiel 33:11, Hosea 11:8. I believe that they are teaching that God goes to hell, sees people there. They don't see Him. They don't realize He's there because there's no light, there's no love, there's no moisture. They're in pain. They're shrieking in pain, screaming. And God goes down there and weeps. Because He created them for fellowship. He created them. He wanted them. And now, they made choices. And He'll never be able to have fellowship with them. But He doesn't quit loving them. Do you understand? Could I ask you to do something right now? It wasn't in my notes. Is God. I'm going to say it, then I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. God, please open my eyes and help me to see people through your eyes, with your heart. Help me to see them as an eternal spirit, eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Make hell and heaven a living reality to me. Would you like to pray that with me? Now, do not pray it if you don't mean it. Because he's going to show you the reality. You're going to start seeing people different. You won't be able to keep seeing them the way you do. And even when you get mad at them and they hurt you and they frustrate you, you're going to find yourself repenting because you're going to realize they're blind. They're dead spiritually. They're blind. They don't see it. They can't help that they don't see it. All they see is this world, and this world is all about them. What I think, what I feel, what I want, that's their whole world. It all revolves around me. Even my dad called me son. See, the whole world revolves around me. So you want to pray that with me? Do you want to see people through God's eyes, have his heart for them? Then let's pray it real quick. Father, please help me to see others through your eyes, with your heart. Make hell and heaven a living reality to me. Help me to see each person as an eternal spirit, an eternal soul that is going to spend eternity forever, either in hell or heaven. I want to see and feel about them the way you do. I want to see and feel about them the way you do. I'm willing to let you love others through me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going in more depth, but this is kind of an outline of what God's been having me share with people lately. People that aren't even saved, but people that are ready. Dear Holy Spirit, lead me to the people that you're dealing with, the people that are ready to hear. Then prepare me so you could flow through me and then link us together. Friday, I don't know how to tell you what my life's been like, but I am spent before my day ends every day. I am so done. But I can't be done. I have to keep going. And I can't keep going. And I keep telling God, I can't do this. You've got to pick me up and carry me. I don't even need your help. I need you to carry me. There was years ago, I remember, where I told God, I don't need your help. I can do this. Go help people that need you. I said, there's a whole bunch of them out there that are weak. They need you. I don't need you. I don't want to take your time. I thought I was doing him a favor. I did. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not call out to God. That's where I was in my stupidity. That's where I was in religion, trying to be strong for God. That's why I don't like religion, a spirit of religion. I love religion as far as having a relationship with God, having thoughts about a relationship with God, God's purpose. That's religion. But I don't like a spirit of religion that puts all the burden on me to perform. I like to have relationship with God, realize he's the daddy, our Father which art in heaven. I'm just a little boy. I'm supposed to depend on him every day. God, what do I do with this person in my face? God, what do I do with this boss? What do I do with myself? I can't seem to get to work on time. I'm always late. God, I find myself mad at other drivers. I let them drive on my road. What's the problem? Why don't they get out of the passing lane? Why do they go 10 miles an hour in the passing lane? want to put signs on my car, you know, about that, you know, and pull in front of them and slam on the brakes so they have to look at the sign, you know. I'm telling you. Let's get real. We want to walk around and act like we're these pious, you know, wearing a halo and a robe. Get real. And the only way to do that is to get honest. Glad both of you agreed. That's cool. What's man's choices, response, and choices is against God. And yet God keeps pursuing us. Do you see that in these verses? Look at Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way so that he can live. He's only existing. He has no life. He has nothing to give. He's constantly looking something to meet his need. That's why he's lusting. That's why he's taking. Because he's not living. And everywhere I go, I find it's like, because I've entered into this life, it's like everywhere I go, it's like I'm just wanting to help other people. Because he's living inside of me. It's like this artesian well. I'm not perfect or something. I'm not the example of Christ. I'm just telling you a place he's brought me and helped me. And it's like I just find constantly everywhere I'm going, it's like I'm pouring out. People are receiving from me. And I'm like, where's your well? Are you full and overflowing? You're so full and content that you don't need. And you're like helping other people. And they're like, no. I go, would you like that? Do you like what's going on inside of you? Since we've been talking, yeah. I said, you want that? Yeah. It's only in Jesus. In him was life. Outside of him is existence, but no life. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Hosea 11:8. How shall I give thee up? That's all we're going to read. How shall I give thee up? There's God. God didn't change. He created us for fellowship. He keeps pursuing us. Even when we're making all these choices against God, his eternal purpose is not forgotten. You remember it over in Isaiah 43:7? And then verse 21, Isaiah 43:7-21. Even everyone that is called by my name. Who's someone called by his name? Who's called by God's name? Is it all of us? Oh, all of his children. So who's called by his name? How about Christians? I didn't make this up. For I have created him. Why? For my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. I didn't make any junk. Even if by your standards they're deformed or a different color or a different shape or size, I created them for my glory, for my purpose. I made them. On purpose, with a purpose. You know what that does for people when you tell them that? Because I find God having me tell that to people every day. God, help this person to know they were made on purpose, for a purpose. Reveal that to them. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. God said, I formed you for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Deuteronomy 7:6-8. He says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You say, see, God has favorites. No. He could say that to anybody on the planet. But they have to be willing to come his way. They have to be willing to choose him. He says, I've chosen you, but did you choose me? I chose you, but I can't bless sin. I can't bless you being in the driver's seat. I can't bless your way. I'm not a little magic genie on the cross, and you get to rub it and say in Jesus' name and get whatever you want. It doesn't work like that. He said, I've got a way, and my way is perfect. And if you walk in that, you're going to find less friction, more peace, joy, presence of God, blessing, favor. Your life's going to go smoother. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Psalm 119 says. I believe it's Psalm 119. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8 we were reading. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. It's not that God loves us better. It's that we, as we receive him, we're able to receive when we allow him to choose us. And we come in agreement with that. We're able to receive his love, his blessing, his favor. And you'll go around other people, and it's not that you're better than them, but I watch people all around me that they're struggling. Everything's going wrong. Their shoes and their tires wear out before mine do. And I go, why, Lord? He said, because they don't have my blessing. Because they're trying to do it without me. A, B, C, anything but Christ. But I'll be a good person. I got peace. You know, okay. How's that working for you? God's way works. Has anybody in here memorized that? I mean, I know that's a long one. But has anybody in here memorized that? God's way works. Do you ever hear yourself saying it? God's way works. Have you ever heard that before? God's way works. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. Look around. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which we had sworn unto your fathers, but the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen or slavery, out of the hand of someone else ruling over you, who's an enemy of God. Psalm 91, 14 to 16. Look at God's heart. Psalm 91, 14 to 16. God says, because he... Let's put Dana's name in there, okay? Because y'all know Dana, right? Over there, that's Dana. He's the guy that sits next to Jen for some reason. All right, you ready? Cackleberry back there. Okay. Because Dana has set his love upon me, God says, therefore will I deliver him. I'm going to set him on high. Because he hath known my name. He's going to call upon me, and I'm going to answer him. I'm going to be with him in trouble. Is there anybody on the earth that doesn't have trouble in their lives? Okay, so think about this. But God says, with Dana, I'm going to be with him. But there's all these others that he's not with. Why did God let this happen? You didn't choose God. You said you didn't want him. You didn't need him. But now you're going to blame him because your life went the way of your choices? Excuse me? How much deeper does it got to get to understand stupid? Okay? I mean, let's get real. Sorry I used that word, but I'm trying to make it clear. I told my kids, you know, there were some words that were cuss words. That's a cuss word. Not that, but stupid. Okay? And but we don't say that. We say bottom. We don't say that. Unless it's a conjunction, you know. I'd rather have that, but Dad said I can't. That's a different kind of butt. Not the B-U-T-T kind. We say bottom. My pastor used to call them chicken bosoms. You know, I thought it was kind of funny because I don't like to say the word breast, you know. So, anyway. But watch God. Because Glenn, too, has set his love upon me, God Almighty says, therefore, I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to set him on high. Why? Because he's known my name. Glenn Too's going to call upon me. And God says, I'm going to answer him. Well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Well, did you choose him? Do you choose to love him? Okay. Do you know his name? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship? God says, I will be with him in trouble. Everybody goes through trouble, but everybody doesn't have God going through it with them. I will deliver him and honor him. Why do we go to the hospital? Why do we pray with people? Because they are needy of God. And we represent God. And somebody's hurting. And we go to pray with them. Can't you see this? Give me your hand. Okay, I'm sorry it was so hard. Okay, all right, ready? She needs God. So I go to the hospital. I go to pray for her. I just get her to God. All I do is invite God in the room. Invite God in her life. Invite God's comfort and peace and for him to heal her. And they always start crying and thank you. Why? Because you brought them into God. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with her in trouble. But look at what comes before that. Because she has set her love upon me. Because she hath known my name. She's calling upon me. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life will I satisfy her. And I'm going to show her my salvation. I'm going to show her my deliverance for her life. But I'm going to show her my salvation, which is Jesus Christ. So that she could share with others. I just lost my place. Thank you, Jesus. Because he loves me, he showed me my place. All right, next point. So what did God do? God loves us. He created us. What if Judy was God? And Judy's all by herself in eternity. And she says, you know, I'm self-existent. But I'm love. But I need an object to love. And I want someone to love me. So I got to give them a free will. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make somebody just like me because I can't have a good relationship with an octopus. Okay, so I'm going to make somebody just like me. And so she makes somebody like her. And then she gives them a free will. And they get to choose if they're going to love her or not. They get all caught up in the earth. Oh, look at trees. They forget the one who made the trees. Oh, look at the sky. They forget the one who made the sky. Oh, look at what I could do with my hands, as if I'm so clever. What about the clever one that made my hands and gave me a little brain to put it together? But we forget the creator. We get caught up in the creation. We get caught up in ourselves. But Judy, God, keeps loving us. And she keeps pursuing us. We make wrong choices. We hurt other people. It's all about me. But she keeps pursuing us. She blesses us. So what she said was, here's what I'm going to do. I gave them rules, but they're not keeping the rules. The majority of them are going to hell. I go down there and I see them and I cry over them and it breaks my heart. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I made them to become like me, but now I'm going to become like them. I'm going to prepare myself a body and go live in it. He prepared himself a body. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. I know that sin comes through the blood, and the blood comes from the Father. So, I can't have an earthly father, but I got to have a woman that loves me. She's not perfect, but she's got to be a virgin. Okay? And so I'm going to put my seed inside of her so I can be born through my creation. I'm going to become like them, my creation, so that they could know me, so that I can go and show them what it could be like if they live with me and walk with me every day. The Father's always with me, for I always do those things that please the Father, Jesus said. He never leaves me. And then I'm going to become one of them so that I can take their place and become their substitute. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, the meaning means God with us, God in a body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Wow, he got that title right out of the Bible. Verse 7. Then said I, Jesus said, lo, check it out, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. I want to be like Jesus. Does anybody in this room want to be like Jesus? Well, what did Jesus say? I come to do thy will. Why do we say, Father, we want to give you everything you want? Because we want to be like Jesus. Not, Father, I want you to give me everything I want. Father, I want to give you everything you want. I come to do your will. What are you up to today? I want to get in on it. I'm willing to lay down my plans to do what you want. And when Leida says that, he says, let's go cook some food for those kids over in Ionia. She goes, okay. And then sometimes he says, nope, today you get a day off, you know. I caused the weather to be in such a way where you get a day off because I have something else I want to do today, Leida. What are you up to, Dad? And then she just hangs out with him. How do you beat that? Every religion wants to believe in a heaven. They all want to go be in the presence of God. Well, he says we could be in his presence right here. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we leave him. But he keeps pursuing us. Okay? So he prepared himself a body. And then Christ's life, the next point, is Christ's life or his example. Luke 2:51, going to give a summary of his life. Luke 2:51, and Jesus went down with his parents, and he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he was subject or submissive unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mark 1:15, now he's 30 years old, he's become a carpenter, and at the age of 30, he becomes a preacher. First words out of his mouth, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. First words out of Jesus' mouth. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Do you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you? All three of you do, huh? How about the rest of you? Yeah. Have the Holy Ghost living inside of you? Well, watch how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost, and with power. What did Jesus do? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Sounds like a relationship to me. Sounds like fellowship to me. Anybody else get that? Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest, Jesus, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus went through everything that we go through, but he never sinned. 1 Peter 2:22-24, Jesus did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, hit, ridiculed, mocked, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten people, I'll get you for that. You just wait till I get off this cross. I'm going to throw you in hell. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When you're going through things, you know what I have to keep telling God every day? I trust you. This doesn't look like what you've told me I was going to do in my life. This isn't what they told me when I was called to preach. That when I got through preaching in the Bible college I went to, they said, when you graduate, you never go back into secular work. From that point forward, you are full-time ministry, you're out preaching, and you don't ever worry about it. That lasted for me for about 2 years, from 87 to 89, and then God said to me, okay, Harv, you've done that, but I want to do something completely different with you, and in order to do that, I have to take you off the road, going around preaching all over the country, to do something different in you. Are you willing to do it my way, Harv, or do you want me to come bless what you're doing? Which I won't, but nope, I'll do it your way, God. He said, good. You need to commit your life to him every day. God, I trust you. I don't like what's happening. I wish it was different. I'm asking you for this, but I'm going to trust you whether I get it or not. I wish you'd change the people around me. Because if they would just change, my life would be better. You know? Excuse me. How many of us say that? I mean, okay. How many of us mean that, but we don't want to say it out loud, you know, in front of anybody, but we really think that in our heart? If they would just change, I'd be okay. Pastor Glenn, when I give the altar call, I know who the first one will be running down the road. We need a doghouse for Pastor Glenn. That's it. Here, puppy. Okay. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Walking by faith, did you ever notice the examples that God put in the Bible? Abraham, Sarah, how long did they have to wait before they got that promised child? Does anybody know? In years? Long time. Does anybody know? 25 years. That means they didn't have any children until she was 99. Now, don't you think they got the promise when she was 65. Abraham was 99, actually 100, and she was 75. Or 90, I'm sorry. She was 90. That means she started at 65 years of age. How would you like God to come to you at 65 and say, I'm going to... Okay, Miss Judy, you're not supposed to answer yet. I know. She's back there. I can't even preach when you're doing that. Don't do that. Okay. How would you like God to come to you at 65 and say, you're going to have a child, and from this child you're going to start. You're going to have offspring, and it's and your offspring is going to cover the earth. God, I'm 65. I've already been on Social Security for 3 years now. God, did I? You mean to send this telegram to somebody else? Maybe there's somebody else named Roxanne, you know. And God's like, no, I meant you. Is there another Roxanne? Okay, it's for me. Okay. All right, God, I'm 65. Okay. But he's 75, God. I mean, like, you know. It's not like it used to be. You know what I mean? Everybody's a little tired here, you know. Okay, whatever. Sorry, I don't try to mean to. Whatever. And God says, well, just so y'all know it's me, we're going to wait 25 years. Now, he doesn't tell them that. He just kind of nudges Jesus and says, just so they all know it's me, I'm going to make them wait 25 years. Because they think it's going to be hard at 65. Wait till she's 90. What? So are you willing to wait to fulfill what God wants to do in your life? Are you willing to go through? Are you? Are you willing to walk in what he wants you to walk through now to get where he wants you to go? My wife started talking to me yesterday or the day before. I can't remember because I just can't remember. Too much coming at me. But she's given me an idea, started talking to me about what she thinks God's doing here. And when she said it, she told God, God, Harvey ain't going to agree with this. And as soon as she told me, I said, I think that's God. She was like, it must be God if Harvey agreed. Some things are getting ready to happen here, but not like what you think, probably. Now, are you willing to commit yourself unto him that judgeth righteously? Are you willing to put your life in his hands and say, whether I like it or not, the answer is yes. Whether I understand it or not, the answer is yes. But God, I can't. He said, I know I can. All I need is someone who's available. But God, I can't. You don't have to. You just have to be available and let me do it through you. Will you choose to cooperate? Sorry, I'm trying to stay to this subject, but he keeps having me say other stuff too, you know. So Christ's life an example. He didn't have sin, but he died in our place. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified, set apart unto God, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Verse 12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. It is finished. There was nothing else for him to do. He sat down. I did what I came to do. I fulfilled my purpose. One offering for sins for all people forever. And look what God's desire still is for us. Matthew 11. These are the last 4 passages, 4 verses, and we're done. Actually, it's 4 passages because this one has 3 verses. Okay? Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Do you feel burden? Do you feel pressure? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all of you that are burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you ever experienced the peace, the rest of God? He wants us to live there. You know what he had me put up on my wall for a long time in front of me? Harvey, when you're feeling burden or pressure, it's because you're trying to do it instead of depending on me. Could that help you? Maybe you want to write it down. If I'm feeling burden or pressure, it's because I'm trying to do it in my own, you know, you don't have to write this, but in my own strength, wisdom, experience, ability, I'm trying to do it instead of depending on God. Jesus said, come. Sounds like a relationship. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That sounds hard, Jesus. And learn of me. Really? He says, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I want you to learn of me because I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, I'm not trying to get others to serve me. I'm not trying to straighten others out. I'm not. That's not me. You need to learn my ways. Does that seem like Jesus? We need to ask ourselves, does this, what I'm getting ready to say, does it sound like Jesus? What I just did to somebody, does that look like what Jesus would do? The way we treat our kids. See, we have pendulum swings. We're over here doing this extreme, and then God's trying to get us over here to do something. He's trying to get us to here, but what we do is we do a pendulum swing. We go way over here, and then we have to come back and learn what the balance is. Jesus, God's desire still, even when people are nailing them to the cross, he's saying, come unto me. Because God's all about relationship. John 6:37, all people that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Anybody that comes to Jesus, he won't turn them away. Anybody that comes to Jesus, he won't turn them away. Anybody that comes to Jesus, he won't turn them away. But what if they're a prostitute? What if they're hooked on drugs? What if they're a liar? What if they're a thief? What if they're a murderer? All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:66. Jesus is talking to some of his disciples. All of his disciples, as a matter of fact. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Come unto me. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. I'll lift your burdens. I'll carry the load with you. I'll be like the daddy and the boy mowing the yard. I'm really mowing the yard, but I'll let you push the mower so you can feel like you're doing it. But I'll do it for you. I'll do it in you. I'll do it through you. But from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And God's desire still, John 14:23, last verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, that's where we're coming down to, folks. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we're going to make our house our home with him. Make our abode with him. We're going to hang out with that guy. The guy that loves me and keeps my words. Does that mean we're perfect keeping his words? What does that mean? Okay, all of you don't talk at once, please. Okay. Okay, God. So what does that mean to keep his words? Be obedient, what? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Be ever thankful. Right. I know. And everything, give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yep. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Okay. Great. What does it mean to keep His words? What does it mean to love Him? What does it mean to love Him? Let's break that down. What does it mean to love God? Do you have an idea? Huh? To love God. That's exactly right. But what does that mean? How about this? What's our first love? What is our first love? Well, I'll go to church if my husband goes to church. God's not first. Your husband is. Well, I'll follow God if my husband does, my wife does. You follow what I'm saying? Loving God is, what do we put first in our heart? Somebody just shared with me that in a Bible study or whatever, what they've been talking about, what God's been showing him, is that when he, the other day when he did something, he said, when the words came out of my mouth, I realized that I hurt my wife. He said, but my first thing, what God's showing me is, I need to ask God to forgive me and then go ask my wife to forgive me. He said, because it's a relationship with God first. You got to put God above your family. Is God above your family? How about is God above you? That's why I teach that word joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You can't spell joy, Y, Joe, or Yash. Putting you first. It doesn't work. If you put you first, it's not joy. You can have happiness. Happiness happens. And you'll get it occasionally, but even by accident. Okay? But to have joy, it's always got to start with J, Jesus first. And then because Jesus is about other people, He's going to have you lay your life down. He's going to say, would you be one to say something to her? Yes. Would you be one to pray for her? Yes. Would you be willing to give Him some money? Yes. Whatever God tells you to do, it's like, yes. And you're going to have joy. Because don't live for yourself. You live for Jesus, and then He's about others. And then you're going to find yourself being content and having joy. And the Bible says, even unspeakable and full of glory. God is all about relationship. God's pursuing us in spite of all of our choices. God keeps coming after us. 1 John 4:19, you ought to memorize it. It's real simple. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And then you really, I don't know if I'm supposed to challenge you with Psalm 91:14-16. We wrote it down earlier. You really ought to memorize that. Psalm 91:14-16. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He's known my name. He's going to call upon me. I'm going to answer Him. I'm going to deliver Him. I mean, you want all those promises? Guy, get them inside of you and say them over and over. That's why you memorize. You say them over and over and you meditate on those phrases. And it's like you're going to enter into a different realm with God. I'm not just telling you to memorize so you can rattle them off. I'm telling you because it will help you. It's a seed of truth that we need to get inside of us. Can I share something with you? You've heard me say it, but I don't think you've never heard it said this way. Every one of you has some people that God is going to minister through you to them. You are going to release Jesus. You are going to bring Jesus into their life. And they're going to experience Jesus so much, you are going to become Jesus to them. You're the closest thing to Jesus they've ever run into. Now, we've all represented the devil before, haven't we? How'd that work for you? Okay. And the people didn't want to be around you, did they? They sure didn't run to you and want to hug you, did they? When I was witness to the guy at GVSU, now here's this guy, a young man. He's a senior. He's getting ready to graduate. Political science. Smart fellow. I sat there and shared with him about Jesus for a few hours because God told me to. God kept telling me, quit doing what you're doing and witness to him. I'm like, God, I'm tired. It's Friday. It's the end of the day. I already had my schedule fixed. I have all this stuff I got to do. And God's like, and what does that mean? He had GVSU call me and say, we got this hole in a tub. It wasn't just a hole. It was like somebody took a fist or a baseball bat and hit it right down to the bottom, and the bottom had this big flap. It was a hole in the bottom of the tub. And they said, the maintenance guy thinks we need to tear this one out. They think it's too bad for you to fix. I said, this is a job for tub guys. And as soon as they said it, I felt like God said, you need to go there today. I'm like, but God, I got all this stuff. I scheduled. I'm on my last job that I had scheduled. I'm getting ready to go home and do all this other three lists of stuff I got to do. He said, you can do it later. Go to Allendale today. I'm in Lowell. He said, you think I don't know that? He said, go to Allendale today. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, okay, I can go there, do the first step. It'll take me an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes. I'm done. Dude, this was about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I didn't get home till 7 or 7:30. Because God wouldn't let me do my job. He kept saying, quit doing that and talk to him. And the guy pulled up a chair and just listened, just like the girl last week. These are college students. Can I tell you something he did? Both of these people were Catholic. Okay? Can I tell you something he did? When he was a teenager and he was at a youth meeting, listen to me, with teenagers, he said, we were in a meeting, and they had us make a commitment to God. And basically what they did was they invited God into their life. And at the end of it, whoever the group was, they gave them a certificate and says, now you have the Holy Spirit, go and prosper, or whatever, you know. Peace, long life, and prosper. Something, I don't know what they said. Something like that. And he said, and you know what? He said, nothing ever happened from that. I said, oh, yeah? I said, God listens, and he always accepts an invitation, and you invited him in your life. And so God said, okay, go try to live for me. He said, it didn't work, though. He said, God wanted you to come to the end of yourself, and then he said, now I'm going to let a hole get punched in your bathtub so I can bring this lowly bathtub reprobate that I saved into your life, because he... Now you're ready to hear the message. When I got through talking after a few hours, and the dude had pulled a chair up, was like listening and talking, and I'm asking him questions. He's like, why can't we do this here at GVSU? I try to talk to these other kids here, and they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to. He said, but we have one of the reasons, because we have preachers that come here and shake their finger and tell us, we're going to hell. You're going to hell. I said, well, what they're saying is true. I said, they're just leaving out part of the story. God loves you. And I said, they're not presenting it a way that people want to hear it. I said, but what they're saying is true. Now, this is what he told me right in the beginning of the few hours. And the whole time, he never left me. And when he helped me carry my stuff out the truck, you know what he did? Just like the girl at MSU the week before. This big old guy, senior, big old Bubba guy, he goes, I gotta hug you. I gotta hug you. He wasn't a very nice fellow. He experienced the life, the love, the hope from God. He got to experience Jesus like he had never experienced him before. And Because God's invisible, he wanted to hug the representative of God. Do you understand? Do you understand? There are people that need us. There's people that God's putting in your life. You walk with God. You could share with about God right now, right where you're at. You don't have to be... I remember when in 1978, I walked into a shop, 150 men standing there, and somebody yelled out, "There's the preacher!" And I got so excited. It was my first day on the job, and I looked around, and all 150 men were looking at me. And I said, "I'm not a preacher. I just love Jesus." Well, God had already called me to preach, but I thought you had to go to Bible college, get ordained, then you were a preacher. No. I was a preacher in the heart and the mind of God before I was born. I was already. When he called me, I was. Do you understand? We call those things which be not as though they are. You are a preacher to some degree. You have something inside of you. Do you have Jesus? I'm sorry. Do you have Jesus? One, two. How many? Do you have Jesus? You have Jesus? Then you can give him away. Whatever you have of him, you can give away. You can share him. Sue says, "I'm not giving him away. I'll share him, but I'm not giving him away." Amen. See, I needed a wife. Okay. See how that works? She's still over there talking. Yes, dear. What else? I need a mommy. Okay. Thank you, God. Come be my mommy. But do you understand? Folks, God's got a call on your life. God's got a purpose. It's bigger than you understand or realize right now. All you have to do is say, "I'm available." Isaiah 6. "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6, 8. "Here am I, send me. Who shall go for us?" God said. And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Are you willing to be sent? "Here am I, I'm available." Are you available? Do me a favor, raise your hand if you're available. Are you available? Tell him, "Here am I, send me." He thinks you meant it now. I told that to that Big Bubba guy at GVSU. He said, "I don't think anything happened from back then when I was a teenager. We're just teenagers." I said, "God took it serious." He said, "Well, I was serious." He said, "But nothing happened." I said, "Yeah, it happened. It just didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. God had to let you go through you trying to do it in your strength, in your ability, and find out you couldn't do it. You couldn't live for God. And you kind of gave up and got hopeless. And you've been looking and wonder why nobody around you wants to hear." He said, "That's because they're supposed to hear from you." I said, "You're the HLB." Showed them in my phone. "See all these HLBs? You're an HLB. You're a hungry little bird for Jesus." He said, "I am." I said, "I know." I said, "That's who God sends in my life. HLBs. You can't feed someone who's not hungry." Do you get the picture? Here's God through eternity. I'm sorry, through time for 6,000 years now. He's been pursuing each person. He's pursuing, and people are making all these choices, anything but Christ. Or, "Here's my version of Christ." God's like, "But I love you. I'm going to keep on. Here's a postcard. How's that work for you?" It didn't work. My way does. God's way would work. He's after us. He's pursuing us. He's in you. And you know what? We either restrict him. "Nope, I can't. Nope, I don't want to. Nope, I don't like it. No, it's not the way I think it should be. No, I got other ideas." We either restrict him or we release him. Sorry, I'm looking at Andrew And every day when I sit at my, I don't see this every day, but it's in front of me, and I see it often. When Andrew, this might have been 5 years, 8 years ago, I don't know, but Andrew drew a little picture of three crosses, and it says, he did this for me, or he did this for others, or whatever it says, I can't remember. He did this for me. And has his name at the bottom. And every time I see that, when I see him, I never can forget that picture that he drew. Because that was in his heart. Now, he's like all the rest of us. He has a life that does this, like the rest of us. In our choices, in our experiences, hurts, pain, get caught up in self, caught up in the things of this world, caught up in the crowd. But that's what's in his heart. It's a seed of truth. And he wrote it out. I know it's in him. I'm looking to watch Jesus bloom in his life. I know Jesus is going to bloom in his life. Because he's got a seed of Jesus that he took in 6 to 8 years ago, whatever it was. We were at the other building. Brother Bill Hodge was leading it. He called it First Church. All the kids were up there, remember? And then they went, they would sit at the tables, they would draw stuff, and he drew that picture. And he gave it to me. Now, why would he give it to me? Most times I see him, he doesn't even talk to me. Even if I talk to him. He thinks he's supposed to be like his big brother and not talk to me. But I just go and hug him anyway. But what I'm saying is, he gave it to me. And I got that picture. And it's up on my wall. And it's in front of me every single day. And I often look at it. And I thank God for it. And it encourages me. And every time I see him, I see Jesus going to break out in his life. I see that he is going to enter into the purpose that God has for him. I get excited. It blesses me. Even though we don't even talk sometimes for months at a time, we may not say a word to each other. But I love him. I believe in him. I'm excited because he has the seed of Jesus in him. He made a choice. You have the seed of Jesus in you. We get to choose if we restrict him or release him. When things come and it's hard, I don't know, I don't know, I don't want to hear about that, I don't want to think about that. But God, not my will, but thine be done. Right? You say that with me? Not my will, but thine be done. Everybody? Not my will, but thine be done. God is after people. What if today, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 happened right here? What that means is persecution happened to the church, and the church was scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. What if God said, no more burning bushes, you know it. It's going to be a bunch of burning bushes. And you are going to go out? You are going to go out, and you are going to go out, and you are going to go out. And you are going to release Jesus. You don't even got to do it. All you got to do is be available. He's going to do it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm available, God. That's all you got to say. I'm available, God. Here am I. Send me. I'm available. I can't do it. I don't know how. But I'm willing to let you do it if you want to do it through me. He won't use you. He'll flow through you. Y'all be partners together. You'll get to know him as a relationship. I'm excited because when I see the numbers dwindle, something's happened to me recently. It doesn't bother me. It excites me because I'm realizing he's getting down to the few that are going to release him. There's going to be an explosion. Because when he reaches 10 and she reaches 20 and she reaches 50 and he reaches 20, do you understand? Now we don't have our 30. We have 20 and 50 and 30 and 20. You understand? And 100 and 200 and 500 and thousands, because you don't even realize who you're touching. You don't even realize. All you got to do is be available. Here I am. Here am I. Send me. I'm available, God. Amen? I love you. I am so excited. I'm so excited. I love you. I'm so excited. All right, Lord, what do you want to do at this point? Hey, Tim. You could do it from right there, Tim. Would you like to close us in prayer? Would you like to just pray for us at the end here? Would you like to pray for us? Okay. Please pray.
No, others to be better and help us to know everybody, to go with Jesus and be with Him and help us to know what He wants and everything else. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.